This is Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discoveries, coming to you live simulcast from the heart of America to around the globe via the World Wide Web, terrestrial radio, satellite, and podcast. Let's journey together into the realms of the unknown to the known in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Welcome to each and every one of you to today's show. Today's guest is Art Shade, looking for God in the kingdom of religious confusion. Now, more on my guest and the topic in just a moment. A special thanks goes out to the Journeys with Rebecca Radio Network and all of my great affiliates. You can check them out and more at my website, journeyswithrebecca.com. And once you're there at the website, you can check out all the latest news under Journeys News and the Archives. You know, I have many new and exciting announcements listed there. And of course, while you're there, you can sign up for the free and totally confidential Journeys with Rebecca newsletter. It will keep you informed of any changes and the guests that you're going to hear on this show. And thanks to the sponsors of Journeys, PerfectlyOrganic.net. Please be sure to check out that website for the best health products anywhere. And also Fate Magazine. That's www.fatemag.com. Now, back to the guest, Art Shade. In this work of fiction, simple but real truths that philosophers spend years contemplating are humbly presented. So, stay with us. We'll be right back. Vitalizer Plus, Advanced Oxygenation System. The Vitalizer Plus is scientifically documented to do four things. 1, structure water. 2, increase oxygen. 3, to add minerals. And 4, to add energy. Go to perfectlyorganic.net. That's perfectlyorganic.net and get yours now.
Have questions about your love life or your job? Get your private psychic reading from Rebecca. Call to schedule an appointment at 1-888-958-2768. That number again is 1-888-958-2768.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
All right, welcome back. Our guest today is Art Shade, and we are talking about looking for God within the kingdom of religious confusion. That's the topic of his book. Welcome to the show, Art.
Well, thank you, Rebecca. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, this is going to be lots of fun because this information here, I think, is going to be really important for people to kind of hear about what's going on. But before we get started into all that, I think what I'd like to do is so that you can kind of introduce yourself to the audience is maybe give them a little bit of background about what would make you write a book with the topic looking for God within the kingdom of religious confusion.
Okay. Being raised Roman Catholic, and as first of all, I am not a theologian or, you know, a scholar in religion, basically just a common person that is been confused, frankly, with religion for a long time. But like my character, I was raised Roman Catholic. And in the Roman Catholic, especially back in the 50s and 60s, very strict Latin. And there were contradictions within what the Roman Catholic Church was describing and what my family did. In other words, I had to go to church, but it seemed like nobody followed what you're supposed to do anyhow. But continuing through the years and continuing to listen to religion, I've always had the same questions, the same types of questions about really if there is a God, whose side is he on? I left it strictly, and as I got into the book, that was one of the premises, my decision to use just the God of Abraham, because I think so much confusion and so much hatred comes from the three religions that believe in the same God. So that was basically part of the premise. And as I grew older, I became more confused, try to adapt I did not get into the position of just accepting something on pure faith. I began to ask questions, and when you begin to ask questions, you begin to become a little bit more educated in different things, the different ways that people think and why they think that way. And as an 18-year-old Marine in Vietnam, I struggled to understand how a loving God really allowed the carnage and emotional trauma of war. And I often wondered whose side, again, God was on. And however, in warfare, it's not a time to search for God. It's a time to believe in God. I mean, so during that time, my belief was strong in a God that I really didn't know existed, you know, and it just troubled my faith and my understanding. Why I wrote the book Looking for God Within the Kingdom of Religious Confusion was really not to proclaim I have found any answers for everyone, but I found answers for myself through a fictional character. And I decided to write the story 40 years later because my sons were asking the same questions, trying to understand religion, trying to understand the difference and why the confusion and why the contention between religions. And that brought me to writing the book. And I did a lot of research in doing so, and from that I learned quite a bit about the religions of Judaism and Islam, and even more about you know, the Catholic Church. But I kept those, I kept the story to those three religions because the ending, which I don't want to tell you,
no,
is what the what my character Jacob comes away with in his understanding of what his beliefs will be going forward.
Well, as you were on this quest, I think that's a good way of putting it, as you were on the quest to make sense out of not only how you were raised, and what the church was telling you and what you found through other people, is there a similarity or a, I guess, a timeline, if you will, of sameness within what it was that you discovered? Do you understand? Maybe I'm not wording that right.
I'm not sure I understood exactly.
When you were going through trying to find your answers and you studied other religions and other belief systems, was there an overlying sameness in what the teachings were, or were they very, very different?
That's an excellent question now that I understand it. There's two parts to it, and I think the main part is that there was extreme commonality in the fact that most religions that I looked at all started with one person talking to God alone, and from that one person developing a religion, a following. That happened with the Mormons. It happened with Christianity. It happened with only Moses on the Mount. It happened with Muhammad. There was only one person in each religion that supposedly knew the facts that God spoke to. So the speaking to a single individual was common throughout a lot of the religions that I talked about. The next commonality, of course, is where the confusion comes in. And the confusion comes in with the interpretations of everyone's religion that some share some beliefs of other religions, but when you get to the major religions, it's the absolute ownership of God. It's the you can only do it one way. You can only, in Christianity, you can only get to God through Jesus. And if you don't do that, then maybe you might get a little space in heaven, but it's not going to be the space, you know, you get if you believe in Jesus. So you had the two commonalities of even as I mentioned in the book, as a Mormon, you know, a 15-year-old kid found hieroglyphics, created a writing that was through Gabriel, who is another character that is common throughout the religions, and had hieroglyphics tablets which he translated over a period of time. But then again, the tablets were lost, so there was no verification.
Ah.
The absoluteness of ownership, I think, is the biggest problem that I had with a loving God, separating all these religions and confusing people and who's to believe in what. And we see it happening today, of course, with the fundamentalist Muslims, and there's fundamentalist Christians, too. So those are the two common factors.
Well, now, you know, I kind of want to expand on that, if we could, just a minute, Art. Those are two absolutely excellent points. First of all, is it that what you're saying is that most of these religions started by an individual communicating with God. And they brought this information back and said, I had a meeting with God, so to speak, and this is what God said. And they all of a sudden became the expert on God. And that's how a religion was formed.
They were the only ones that was God's conduit.
Uh-huh. So that's probably what started the whole thing about, you know, the priests, the ministers, the rabbis, whatever, is that they have been endowed with information that's not available to anyone else. You have to go through them. Isn't that interesting?
It's very,
but yet it started with an individual.
And it carried on for, yes.
It
carried on, and as I get back to the three religions of Abraham, which, of course, sprung Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, there were debates right from the beginning as to, you know, who owned God. Muhammad, it was 23 years in writing the Quran, and a lot of these religions started out for hundreds of years of what they call the oral tradition, which meant people passed down the story, and in the beliefs of these religions, nobody made a change to those stories. It's absolutely correct before they were written down hundreds of years later on paper. So that's always kind of interesting. You start with one individual, and then nothing's really written. It's all storytelling, but it's supposed to be storytelling where nobody changed anything. And that's another commonality that flows through. Muhammad, it was 23 years that, over 23 years that he was getting inspired through Allah for the Quran.
You know, I'm just, you know, my brain is just totally on fire here. It really is. It's just totally on fire. You know, I'm sitting here thinking about all this, and one of the things I think that is really an important point to make here is that religion, most of us have said, well, how did the religions get started? And you have just very, very succinctly put that into words where we can all understand. And, you know, that is just really huge, because I can tell you through my own personal journey of looking for God that all the religions, their belief systems, their structure within the name that they call themselves always left me flat. It always just left me feeling less. It didn't make me feel better by going and listening to these people. I was like, that just doesn't resonate with me. You know, that whatever that restriction or whatever it was on there in that particular religion. And I always wondered, really, how did all of these religions get started and who put these people in charge? So I think maybe what I'm hearing you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the individuals that were communicating with God shared their stories, and I believe the way you're saying it is that the people that were listening to those that were sharing the stories about their communications is the one that maybe put them into their own realm, put them in, they segregated them as, this person is special because God didn't talk to me like that.
Exactly, and the situation is each religion is adamant. I mean, it's like the game of telephone. You sit there and you whisper into one person's ear something, and then six people later, it doesn't sound the same.
Right.
Well, in the religions, they're absolutely sure that nobody changed anything. But you have to take a look at you have to take a look at it even in, and because I'm more familiar with Christianity, people do change things. People do change things over time to adapt. It, when I was a kid, I was going to hell if I eat meat on Friday.
Right.
Now all of a sudden you can eat meat on Friday.
Yeah.
So there were changes. There were human changes taking place in the 70s, and why weren't they taking place 5,000 years ago?
Right.
So my contention is, that, and I'd like to make the point, too, is that I am not anti-religious or trying to change anyone's mind set in what they believe, that they choose to believe it. What I try to get out of the book, and when you mentioned the simplicity of it, is a layman's book to try and understand this confusion, to try and understand how the scriptures came about, to understand that, look, there may be some confusion in your religion. Nothing is absolute. So if someone doesn't believe as you do, don't hate them for it. Understand where they're coming from, what they're thinking about, and why they're thinking about it. Because there is so much controversy. I mean, why would you need for thousands of years scholars trying to figure out what God wanted you to do?
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, why does it have to be so difficult? It's, you know, so anyhow, so that's where it is. So I don't believe, I can't give my story away because that's the ending that the character comes out with, and of course, that's my feelings as I feel today, but that's where the confusion comes in. And in the book, I was very, very conscious not to degregate or not to slam any religion, just trying to understand why they believe that they're the only way. And it becomes very, it was very interesting research. It took about a year and a half to research, to build the story.
Well, and, you know, I can see where all of that would have, you know, the research alone. I've done some research on some different topics myself in the past, and I can tell you that through the research, I became even more educated because of the questions. And, you know, I say to people, if you question something, then you need to go seek it out. Because one man's truth is not necessarily another man's truth, and that does not make one better or worse than the other. It simply is a way of expressing oneself. And, you know, getting back to that premise, when all of these beings, you know, Muhammad and all of them were getting information with their communication, this information for them was interpreted. They interpreted it instead of just maybe listening to it. I think that's also can be part of why things have been the way that they have been all these thousands of years within the religious sector. And we're talking about organized religion. So I this is just really very eye-opening for people that are maybe, you know, maybe their religion has left them questioning, and then it's a good time. It's not like somebody is being, I guess, sacrilegious or blasphemous if they decide to seek out answers, because as you stated, this has all been in an oral tradition. So somewhere along the way, probably something has changed. Just, and your example of the Friday meat thing was really fun. I mean, that's so true. Even the Catholic Church has changed other things within their organization from the time I was a little girl, and I'm not Catholic. I wasn't raised Catholic. So I find this all really very fascinating, and I really want people to resonate that this book is not of a judgmental book. It does not judge a religion. It does not judge a lifestyle. It does not judge any of that. It's simply pointing out some facts from along the way, and I think this is absolutely excellent for anyone that questions that. And, you know, I've got a ton more questions for you. Art, we're out of time in this segment. You guys do not go away. We're going to be right back with more of Journeys with Rebecca and Art, looking for God within the kingdom of religious confusion. Stay with us.
Fate Magazine, providing true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now, 800-728-2730, or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Be sure to check out Mark Kerr's debut CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com. This flawless debut performance earned Mark an induction into the Blues Hall of Fame as Ambassador to the Blues for the state of Louisiana. Also, it earned him a nomination for Musician of the Year in 2006 by the Academy of Texas Music. Mark Kerr, One Drink Away from the Blues at www.cdbaby.com.
Hello, I'm Jane Goodall. Only half of the world's forests and wetlands that existed at the start of the 20th century still exist today. We must do a far better job of protecting wildlife habitats, or environmental chaos awaits those who follow us. If you own land you want kept safe forever, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. 1-800-729-SAVE.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
All right, welcome back. We're here with Art Shane, looking for God within the kingdom of religious confusion. You know, we shared a lot of information with the audience in the very first segment, Art. One of the statements that you made that I kind of want to go and kind of carry through is the terminology used was absolute ownership of God. I found that to be, I mean, that just really struck a chord in me. I mean, that just absolutely put a lot of puzzle pieces together, that whole statement, absolute ownership of God. And that's what each of the religions, the organized religions, have done, is taken ownership of God. However, one of the things that I want to go on before we talk about that a little bit is to get back to the beginning when you said, here's these people that spoke with God, and they came and talked to people about what it was that God said to them, and the people is what gave up their own personal power to this individual that spoke with God by saying, God doesn't talk to me, but he talked to this person. So therefore, I'm giving my power to this one and letting him tell me what God is saying. And yet, the individual receiving the information, the communication from God, is still, on some level, interpreting what God is saying, as opposed to just living what God said. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes perfect sense. And again, it's even while we talk about interpretation of what the original founder said, you're talking about interpretation that continues thousands of years later today, where people cannot agree on.
Exactly.
Even the divinity of Christ within some Orthodox Christian churches. And it is information that is taken, and supposedly, again, each religion says nothing has changed or nothing, you know, it's written exactly as God wanted it to write. It does become that people give up that ownership for that belief. And whether we talk about faith or belief or however you want to classify it, the matter is that faith in itself means believing in something that you haven't seen or proven. So right off the bat, I mean, that should signal to somebody that, okay, I'm believing in something that I'm not really sure and positive how everything happened, but I'm giving up myself to this organization. And people go into religion for many various things. They go in for, they the commonality of the people, the belonging of a group, the belief that, you know, what that person is telling them through their families and stuff is correct. So, yes, you do give up yourself. And when you stop asking questions, because within those each of those religions, one of the key factors is that you don't ask questions. I remember as going to catechism as a young man, as a young boy, and I had mentioned to a priest, I said, you know, what's a Methodist church? He said, well, it's not important. He said, well, I said, I'd like to just go hear what they had to say. He said, you cannot go hear what they have to say. It is not important, and it is a sin.
Oh.
So I go, okay.
Oh, no.
You know, you're a young boy. You know, this is, the rules were, the teachers had all the rules, and the priest had all the rules. You know, it was funny. I think about,
I think about
years ago, how many, the fear factor of how many parents years ago would believe their sons come home and saying that a priest touched them.
Right.
It would be hard to believe, but
right.
But yes, this giving up of yourself is one thing. The hatred or the disbelief in anything else outside of what you believe in is really where the confusion and the hatred comes into.
And the judgment.
And the judgmental, right.
And the dissension between the peoples.
So that's very, you know, very much a part of it.
Oh, and I have to agree with that. You know, you talked about you questioning, you know, the priest and catechism. Well, I was raised Baptist. And in my Sunday school, I raised my hand and I asked my Sunday school teacher a question. And she could not answer the question. And I raised my hand a little bit later and asked her another question. When my mother came to pick me up, she advised my mother never to bring me back because I was a disruption, because I questioned what she was telling me. So I never got to go back to Sunday school.
You never could.
Well, and that's fine. Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously I didn't belong there. But, you know, as a child, you're thinking, and everyone looked at me like I was some kind of a, you know, an abomination because I questioned what this teacher was saying. I was trying to understand what she was saying based on the teachings of that church. But
isn't
yet,
that,
and just like you, you were given the same information. Do not question what's going on here. This is just the way that it is. It's that fear factor. It is that this is the only thing. My real thought and feeling is if somebody believes that, they're going to say to somebody, go check it out. Check it out, and if you find something better that fits you, if you can communicate better with God under a different auspices, then go for it. But that's not what we do. We in our religious teachings, whether we're Catholic or Baptist, in the case of you and me, we, even though we come from very different spectrums in our upbringing, we still both shared a similar experience when we questioned.
You didn't have that right, and that's why I think things are changing. Because younger adults are asking more questions. They're able to ask questions. The communication is different. And that's why I believe religion, I never believed it. I never knew this until I did the research, that 60% of the people in Israel, the Jewish people, are secular. That's a lot of people thinking outside the box.
That's huge.
A lot of people that are really looking and asking questions. And once you start to ask the questions, you start to find answers. And you shouldn't be afraid of the different answers that you find. And that's why a lot of people also, the fear of finding something different and then wrestling with what they've been taught all their life is hard for people to do. But it doesn't mean that you have to give up your faith to ask questions. It just means you expand and understand what other people are talking about. I wrote towards the end of my book, I wrote, because there is so much confusion, and when I got into Christianity, and again, the story is a fictional story, but it's based on, it's a fictional story, but it's based on scriptural facts of the three religions. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And the character, following his tragic death of his daughter, is determined to find God within one of these religions and find out why he wasn't there to save her. Why, you know, why, and whose side is he on? So as he travels, he's besieged with his own doubts of his faith. He struggles to maintain an open mind, again, speaking to the different leaders, religious leaders. But as he travels, the greater his confusion and frustration, because each religion is adamant God bestowed his word and authority with them. His search leads him to the turbulent kingdom of authority within the religious confusion, where his venture begins. And the key thing of the story is, even within these three religions, the number of different paths that you can take, the number of different interpretations of how someone started the Protestant, and how the Protestants within the Protestants have hundreds of different paths, to the Baptists on how they believe, you know. And so you have all these different interpretations. And part of the judgment in the book, I believe I wrote this here, is, nevertheless, Jacob remained troubled by the fact he had not found proof of God's existence or confirmation which path God wanted him to follow. Without a sign or confirmation from God, how would he ever know if his daughter is in peace with the Lord? How would he ever know if he would be with her again? And then it goes on to talk about that if there is a loving God, based on the decisions and my attempt to try and find him, he will understand the turbulence that I've gone through and accept me as I am. And that's kind of where the book leads, because it builds up to all this confusion. It builds up to how can you be so absolute. But it's in a story. And the flow really covers there's just so many different religions.
Well, I can tell you, even in the religion that I was raised in, I have, through the years, attended probably, pretty close to a dozen different churches with the name Baptist in it, the Baptist religion. And the variances within that was astounding, just within the Baptist religion. And I went on and I explored Lutheran and Methodist and all the other ones. You know, I've even attended Catholic services and things of that nature, trying in my own way to find somebody that had the answer that I was seeking for my faith or my belief in God. And one of the things that I came to the conclusion was is that my path to God is my own. Just as we talked about in the very beginning of your book, these men that had communication with God and brought that information down, everyone has the ability to communicate. Everyone. It's not set up for the chosen few. That's a term that's used a lot. A chosen one. To hear the word of God.
Exactly. And that especially was heard through the Jewish religion.
Yes.
That only the Pharisees and some other people, you know, again, were the leaders. And it's somehow very funny that a lot of the leaders were a lot of the rich people, too. They had a lot of the quality. You know,
they had a lot of the control, right?
But, and then again, there's Christians that believe that a man, the Pope, is infallible. The same thing is in Islam, where an Ayatollah is infallible, and that's a tremendous, tremendous power for one individual to have.
Yes.
To make those. But when you brought up you're going to different. Baptists and different ways of looking at it. If I do have a second here.
Oh, you do. Okay. We have a few more minutes, yes.
Just as his travels and as Jacob travels, he reaches a junction of the majority where Baptists, Anglicans, Methodists, Lutherans, Episcopalians, Disciples of Christ, and other factions acknowledge each other's presence, but work independently to assimilate their unique point of view. Each clergy person worked diligently to assemble an ideology to be transported by loyal messengers to senior members of their respective congregations. Each added unique emphasis points for their flocks and forwarded the modifications to pastors, deacons, and laymen, who would then preach the tailored message to millions of devoted parishioners around the world. And it kind of gets in that paragraph, I was trying to really say that you have the same scripture with so many interpretations and people coming out, and it's only their belief. And by the time it gets passed down from the Vatican on down, it's human nature for people to put in their own thoughts, their own comments, their own beliefs on how things should happen.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true.
It's very interesting, and that's where the story gets interesting, because it does cover this. Even atheists, I got into, they in some fashion, they have their belief. And again, the book really stresses, you can have a belief, you can be an atheist, you could be a Christian, but don't feel so absolute that you have all the answers, and accept maybe what other people are saying. Don't degrade them, don't, you know, acknowledge that they're all losers because they believe in a religion. But even the atheists, I mean, yes, there's a lot of scientific information out there, but that nobody can still answer where that one little atom came from that started the Big Bang. And by the way, what is space that it blew into?
Yeah, there you go.
You know, so there's unanswered questions, and it all comes back to faith. And when you can understand faith means there's some things out there that nobody knows about.
And
ask questions. Ask those questions.
And then they need to feel the answers that they get. Does it resonate as your truth instead of letting other people lead you around by the nose? I mean, I think that's a huge problem for a lot of people. You know, our society has kind of, you know, been built that way, and it's a sad thing. So, but before we run out of time, why don't you take a moment here, give everyone your website, and also how to get a hold of your book and any other information you'd like to leave us with today, Art.
Terrific. I appreciate it. My website is www.awshade.com. You got to remember the C. SCHADE.com. My email, if you'd like to send me or have any questions, is aws@awshade.com. The book is available on Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Noble and through bookstores. And also, you can purchase it from my website.
Absolutely excellent. Absolutely excellent. Art, this has absolutely been a wonderful show here today, because the thing that we really wanted to share with the audience, I think we've gotten it across, is that this is not about one person having the answers, and your book does not do that. Your book does not say this is the end-all to end-all. This is perhaps maybe a starting point for people. And that's what makes this a powerful book. Even though it's written in a novel form, which, by the way, makes it enjoyable to read, it certainly doesn't leave the reader of your book thinking that the answers are right there in front of them, that they do need to go search it out. And that's what's really powerful about this book, Art. You've done a wonderful job. I really appreciate it. And we do appreciate you being here on the show today and sharing this, because this is one of those topics that can really, you know, can be controversial for many people, and we're not here to you know, stir up controversy as opposed to just sharing information, and I so appreciate that today.
Well, thank you very much, Rebecca, and I appreciate the opportunity, and all I say to people is just keep an open mind and ask questions.
Absolutely. You guys, do not go away. We're going to be right back with more of Journeys in just a moment.
Get your personal and private reading from Rebecca. To schedule an appointment, call 1-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888 1-888-958-9595 Tarot. That's 1-888-958-2768. Find out where your life's journeys will take you.
The recording industry is at it again. They're attempting to shut down all internet radio stations. That is, unless they agree to pay them more money than the business could ever possibly make. Protect your right to the most diverse internet content landscape. Write or email your congressman and senator and ask them to work to repeal the decision of March 2nd by the Copyright Royalty Board. SaveNetRadio.org. Do it now. SaveNetRadio.org.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest on all the aspects of paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now, 1-800-728-2730. Again, that's 1-800-728-2730. Or visit their website, www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Tolerance is accepting someone before they walk through the door.
No matter what their background, their religion, their lifestyle.
It's about accepting people for who they are as individuals.
Their culture, their family, their traditions.
Tolerance is celebrating the diversity that makes us great.
Tolerance. Honor the differences.
Picture a world of respect. Visit tolerance.org to learn more.
Talk with an intuitive touch. Journeys with Rebecca.
All right, welcome back. Thanks so much for staying with us. You know, I decided to have the guest on, Art Shade, talking about religious confusion, his newest book. And we spoke an awful lot about organized religions and how it all began with one man coming into the group of people and talking about their communications that they had with God Source, and how people venerated them, chose them to be the speaker for them for the communications. People give their power away. They gave their power away. You know, unfortunately, it is no less prevalent today. So today I'm here doing something a little different than I normally do, which is to give a commentary, because I have found more and more of this throughout my dealings with people, whether it be those that are on my radio show as guests or as those for my clients when I do readings, for when I'm out doing workshops. And one of the things that I have come across over and over and over again is that when a person speaks to another person and they appear to have more knowledge or information, that the person listening has a tendency to give that power away. And one should never give your own power away. Some of the newer things that's come up in the last few years due to the technology of the internet and being able to communicate across globally with people is the groups. You'll see, you know, such as Yahoo groups or any of the other groups out there. They're all over. They're all different kinds. There's all kinds of groups that people can form. But specifically today, I'm going to be talking about those that are of spiritual or religious nature, in which people are seeking answers. They know something's not right in their life, and they need some guidance or assistance, or they just need to share their experiences with others, others that they would come to think of as like-minded, which is one of the reasons why people join these groups. I, too, am in a member of many groups out there. Some of them is for me just to monitor, and others are for me to be an active participant in them. And I have been in a group in the past. It was actually due to somebody that I'd had on my show, and this person had a group, and I joined it. And I was watching the interaction between this person that monitored the group and was the head of the group with all of those that would come on and ask questions. And some of the answers that were given didn't resonate very well with me. But again, it doesn't have to be about me, and it isn't about me. But I did notice that whenever this person was told, the person, the head of the group, was told that
that that didn't feel right to them, he would then simply state that, you know, he held all the answers and that if you wanted to be a mamby-pamby, then that was up to you, but he would have nothing to do with you because he was the only one that had the answers. And he also went on to say that he was the only one doing the work. Now, when we say doing the work, there's many people out there doing all kinds of different things, such as grid work, crystal work, ridding the world of reptilians, whatever the case may be. So this person, I wrote to this person myself, and one of the comments that I got back from this person was that they wouldn't post my message because it didn't agree with him. And the interesting thing was the exchange went on to say, and I wrote back, and I, because I did, and I said, well, you know, that's all well and fine. I kind of figured you wouldn't post it. Well, of course, then at that point, he did post it. And the point behind all this is not to, you know, justify anything here. It is simply to let you know that to please be very careful out there, anyone that's listening, that you don't fall into the trap of joining a group or listening to a person that's speaking and absolutely absorb it to the point where it becomes your truth without really looking deep within self, and let self tell you whether or not that resonates or whether you're just kind of following along because there are others following along. We have a tendency as a whole, the whole group of us, as humanity, to give our power away to others. And that is not to mean that our own power should not give room to others who wish to express themselves, because we do. We need to be much more open, much more caring, much more understanding and non-judgmental, that perhaps if somebody finds something that really seems to fit and it doesn't agree with you, doesn't make it wrong for them and right for you. It simply means that it makes it right for them, that that person has found something that they can resonate with, a truth within them. And really, that's what this journey of life is all about. It's about all of us finding whatever resonates with us, defining our truth, our light, so that we can stand in that truth and not waver from it. You know, the times ahead, folks, are getting very, very tough. They're not going to get easier. So we can't, first of all, give our power away. We do need to question things. We need to question things internally, not necessarily mentally, but internally. Does it feel right for us? Does it feel right, this information? Please, don't be afraid to stand up and say, that doesn't feel right for me. There's nothing wrong with that. It's absolutely perfect if you should do that. That's not being hard to get along with when you say, you know, that doesn't resonate well for me. But what you could say is something like, okay, I hear what you're saying. Thank you very much for sharing. You don't even have to make the statement that it doesn't resonate. You acknowledge what the person is saying. You take it away, and you let go of it for yourself. That's what this is about. So when we get into more and more aspects of humanity and consciousness and the earth changes and all the other things that are going out there, I will be bringing forth a lot of things that may be somewhat controversial, but it's not to be judged. It's to be listened to and feel whether it feels right to you. The weeks to come are going to be very, very interesting here on Journeys with Rebecca, and I'm very excited for some of the more unusual guests that I'm bringing forward. Today was no exception. I have people that contact me all the time for that. So you're going to have a really fun time learning about new ideas and new concepts. So keep the heart and the mind open, keep the judgment at bay, and feel if it resonates with you. I so truly enjoy being able to bring this show to you, and certainly the unique guests and their unique perspectives, and understanding that I don't always agree or disagree with the guests that are on here, simply just to share the information. For we're intelligent beings, and we can draw our own conclusions as to how we see fit. I wish you well. You guys do not go away, because we have a little bit more left of Journeys with Rebecca here today. And thank you so much. I'll be right back. Thank you.
Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan, host of Journeys with Rebecca. As a truly gifted psychic and clairvoyant, let me help answer your life's questions. Schedule your personal and private reading appointment with me. Call 1-888-958-2768 or log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com. Where will your life's journey lead you?
Be sure to check out Mark Kerr's debut CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com. This flawless debut performance earned Mark an induction into the Blues Hall of Fame as Ambassador to the Blues for the state of Louisiana. Also, it earned him a nomination for Musician of the Year in 2006 by the Academy of Texas Music. Mark Kerr, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com.
Close your eyes for a moment. Now imagine you're away from it all. Beside a crystal clear mountain stream, the cool grass crunches underfoot. Take a deep breath and drink in the sound of water cascading over the stones as birds call out from above. A real paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. And with your help, places like this one can last forever. You see, the Nature Conservancy works locally with communities, businesses, and people like you to preserve the most precious natural places around the world. They protect the animals that live there, the plants that grow there, and even the water. That way, this beautiful place will be beautiful forever. And we'll make sure that closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. That's nature.org.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
All right. And thank you to my wonderful guest today, Art Shade. And again, please remember to visit his website. That's www.awschade.com for more information about him and his book, Looking for God Within the Kingdom of Religious Confusion. And, of course, you can always get to him from my website, journeyswithrebecca.com. And there you can check out the current guests and even the past guests. And we'd like to thank the sponsors of Journeys with Rebecca, Fate Magazine, published continuously since 1948, and PerfectlyOrganic.net for simply the best health products around. Now, we have at the website listed all the upcoming guests in the weeks to come, so be sure to mark your calendars to listen. And please remember, if you missed a show, you can find it on the audio archives. You know, here at the Journeys with Rebecca radio show, it's designed to provide information from the guest for you, the audience. We have a wide range of topics that we present to you, and here is a short listing of some of the upcoming guests in the next few weeks. We're going to have Knighton Warbeck on the science of time. This is going to be very fascinating. Marshall Masters on Planet X 2012 forecast. We're going to have Lionel Parkinson, the holy virus. Dr. Bartlett on Matrix Energetics. Craig Lane is coming on. He's a return guest talking about the cosmic bridge and the human destiny. And Mark Kimmel, Birthing a New Civilization, Philip Gardner on secret societies, and so much more. You know, I really do love hearing from you listeners, so please write to me and let me know what you think of the show or my guests. Email me at mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. And I hope you get a chance to join me for my live show. That's on every Saturday at 8 p.m. Central Time on many of the great stations here in the Journeys family. So, until we meet again, where will your life's journey lead you? Many blessings and good night.